Your parents are Holocaust survivors. Can you tell us about your Safa? Was she at all present in this story?
I'm still in the...
Yeah.
I need a short question to begin
with. Well, actually, here's a short question. Have there been other theatrical representations of your stories?
Just one in the other side of this country, and I wasn't there. I was in Israel, so I missed it. So this is my first experience actually watching it, and it's very, very exciting and special and wonderful to me. So thanks.
That's really cool.
Great job. Because when you write, you have a certain voice in your mind. I think writing is about that voice, that kind of... It's not subtle, it's a certain voice that you play with that sometimes dictates the story, and sometimes sort of your own voice that you're trying to find. I mean, writing is so much about finding the voice, obviously. And watching it and hearing other voices is a trip, because these are, in a way, my voices, in another way, not my voices. It's like a whole different experience. It's fascinating. I wish that there were more showing so I could see and hear it a few more times. It's really special.
Who translated? Oh, Sean Goldman translated the...
Yeah, the
stars. How did that arrangement happen?
Well, I've had a few translators of some of my stories. Michael has translated this one,
two.
And I've been lucky to be here a few times and have friends who are Hebrew speakers, who are scholars of Hebrew in various places and universities here. And I've been lucky that some of them have had an interest in my stories. So I guess each of them has had their own relationship, and it was actually very nice and very sweet that each of these people have chosen a story or two that they felt a connection with. I'm not a translator. I can speak your language, but I can't really translate into it, except one try that I did, because nobody else would pick it up at that particular time that I needed the story. But I love it when somebody else translates the story, and that's too sort of the playing out of my vision, because the translation is a whole new story in a way.
I'm going to ask you guys to move down just a tiny bit. I know that you guys are on the side of suffering, have some not fantastic sightline issues, but I'm going to ask you to just move down a little bit closer so we can pick you up a little bit and speak up a little bit louder.
Sure.
come this way.
Come this way?
Yeah.
Are we walking
this way? Yes. Thank you.
So my Safta was from Poland. I think the Safta I imagined here, and I love the Safta figure. Where is Safta?
I think she's still in the back.
Okay. So the figure I had in mind was much closer to your actress than my own Safta. I had a great Safta with her own thing and her own stories, but nothing like this. And that's the thing when you write, you just make up ideas and dreams and you incorporate people that you've met and other stories you've read. So that, again, is a gift to be able to see that, all those other figures happening right here.
Do you have trouble saying no?
Yes.
No. I suspected. I got you to come here.
So. Couldn't say no.
Well, I'll ask. I know there's, I'm sure, a lot of questions from the audience, so I guess I'll ask one last question. Seeing stars performed, and I love all three performances, but seeing stars performed after reading it a number of times, it really hit me that it's a novel disguised as a story. I mean, you've got a whole history of Israel. You've got from the War of Independence to the present day. Was that something that you were conscious of writing it? You really work in the short story form.
Right.
Did Stars ever kind of tempt you towards expanding it into some kind of big 300-page book?
Well, the story of my life as a writer is that I really am very much directed into the short story genre. I love it. I also love it as a reader. I find a huge power in it. I feel that what I've just seen on stage indeed carries a whole world, and I'm not sure that throwing in 300 more pages would have given it justice. I don't see why I need that. It's all there already. And isn't the literature a relationship? It's the relationship between the writer and the reader. So the whole trick to me about literature, it's not my trick as the writer, it's just the way the world or the artistic world works, is that I throw in something and you take out of it your own thing. It's not my SAFTA eventually, it's your SAFTA. It's what you make out of that figure. So it's the marriage, it's the match of these words, these worlds where we meet. So I've had this struggle for many years, actually. On the one hand, I do want to write more stuff, longer stuff. I do want to write a novel. It's also a market thing, because it's extremely difficult to get anywhere in the literary world without a novel. That's the first question I'm always asked by agents and publishers. Where's the novel? And I do want to succeed. I'd love to be able to, you know, work with what literary world expects, because otherwise it's really extremely difficult to get anywhere. The only example, contemporary example in Israel of somebody who really succeeds big time with short stories is another guy you've done theater with here, which is Edgar Keret. But that's a very unusual example.
Maybe we should take questions from the audience now. I've got my list, but I'm really curious to hear what people want to hear, or your responses, or your own SAFTA. Yeah.
I apologize if this is a repeat of maybe a question that people have asked already at your previous event, but I was speaking to somebody else that's Israeli involved in the arts, who's also gay, and he was saying that he could never imagine living anywhere but Israel, partly because it's such work to be a Jew everywhere else. And he also said, it's such work to be gay everywhere else. He's like, everybody starts talking community and this and that. He's like, you know, you can't just be. And I'm wondering if your impression is the same thing on those two counts.
Well, the gay thing is the other way around, because it's hard to meet anybody gay in Israel. So I think it's much easier to be gay in Portland, in my 1 month experience here, or anywhere else in this country for that matter. Particularly in my city of Jerusalem, there is a gay organization, there is gay politics, there is gay this, gay that, but no other gay men.
if you know of anyone, you can send it to my email.
Because Tel Aviv is like one of the world's biggest, gayest, the travel.
But notice that SAFTA didn't say go to Tel Aviv. SAFTA said come back to Jerusalem.
So this is because you're Yerushalmi, not because you're Israeli.
I'm from the Tel Aviv area originally, and I moved to Jerusalem. That was my first decision when I was out of the army and I could make my own decision. I moved to Jerusalem, which is a much more interesting city, much more spiritual city. I never questioned that decision. It's so much. It's like in this Stars act that you saw. There is something spiritual that leads us, I think, and choosing to live in Jerusalem was that sort of thing. Without a particular suspect, it was just in my soul. And I can't think of myself moving any other place. Yes, gay, no gay. That's my place in the world. Being an Israeli anywhere else, I could maybe think of being an Israeli abroad, and I've met quite a few Israelis here, and it doesn't seem too difficult. But I can't think of myself living somewhere else for extended period of time, simply because when it has to do with my writing, with my passion about the culture in Israel, what would they do anywhere else for years? It's wonderful to spend a few months here and there, and I have spent some years outside my country, and that has always been very inspiring in many, many ways. But just the air is something different in terms of culture and language. It's even the language. After a while here, I find myself starting to think here and there in English, which is very nice, but it's not where my heart is eventually.
I wanted to ask a question about Green Island. So I think the temptation very often when we look at a work of art from another country or society is to assume that it's some allegory about that country or society. So it's partly because it's also short and feels like a parable. I think there's some feel like it might move in that direction. At the same time, it also seems like it's. I remember actually maybe a decade ago reading the New York Times about some fellow who was growing corn on a traffic island in the Bronx. So where does this story come from, and is it social commentary or just a sad episode?
It's a universal thing to me. Bureaucracy in Israel is as bad as it is anywhere else, except in Israel also the service is really rough and unfriendly. So, I mean, the bottom line is the same thing, but they'll do it with chutzpah, whereas here they'll do it with a smile and tell you the next day, which is very sweet. I'll miss it big time when I'm back. Anyway, this particular story, I don't remember where it stemmed. Sometimes I'd have an idea, and that's again about writing a short story, writing short stories. Sometimes it's just the idea. It's just on a good day, if I can have the maybe hour that it takes to translate the idea into an actual page, that could do it. That could be it. And sometimes I don't even have to rewrite that sort of story. I think Green Island was one of the stories that I've written in one go. Maybe I've changed a word here or a word there later, but the story was there and ready. Today I had an idea. I have this practice. Whenever I have an idea and I happen to have a conference like this, I like to mention it and to promise myself that I'll end up writing that in a story, because once I've made it out loud, I have to. So I had two ideas today. The first one was much better, but I forgot it. It happened this morning in class. Michael, you were there. And then, like an hour later, I was, where is this story? And that happens all the time to a writer. I once had a great coffee time with David Grossman, a well-known Israeli writer that I'm sure a lot of you have read. And in the middle of our lunch, he, all of a sudden I could see something was happening in his face, and he grabbed a piece of paper and he wrote something down, and he told me, I just had to write this idea because otherwise I'd forget. And it was inspiring, because that's what I do when I have a great idea. Or something I feel is good. I'll try to ignore anything else in the area and just write that idea. Anyway, the other idea I had today, the title goes "Sushi with a meaning," and the idea is that this person has a dream or an idea to cook and to open up something like some sort of a sushi restaurant, but they've done everything, right? All possible kinds of sushi, and you always need something new. So this guy wants to have one sushi that will mean love. Okay, another role would be sushi with a future. So that would be the recipe. It's not about the taste. I don't know where this is going, but not about
thinking about keeping kosher and the search for a date aside, and I think you and I would both agree that all the good ones are either married or gay. Given that
or married and gay.
In Jerusalem, it is true that there's the gay and lesbian open house. You've been involved in gay activism in Israel for a long time. You're one of the founders of the Israel AIDS Task Force in the 80s. Today, when there's the Bayit Petzuach, the gay and lesbian open house in the center of Jerusalem, and there are gay bars, and there's a gay pride parade, albeit with some controversy in Jerusalem, do you ever find yourself surprised at how much things have changed and how much progress there has been?
Well, yes and no. I feel I've been very lucky to live in a time where the gay lib movement has really gone a long, long way. We in Israel are generally maybe 10, 15 years behind you on this, though in some ways, on some things, we are even doing better. So, of course, it's not just one thing. It's a complicated, it's a complex kind of picture. And yes, the improvement, the progress is huge and relatively rapid. On the other hand, there is still so much to do and such a long way to go. Luckily, I'm capable in my life, focusing on what's there. So I'm really happy with what we have achieved already. But at the same time, I'm jealous of the next generation, because I'm not 20 anymore, and it's gonna be so much easier in a few years.
Well, who was it who said that if there's a pistol in Act 1, that there will be it'll go off in Act 3? So Chekhov, thank you. So there are bottles of wine from Act 1, and maybe we should move on to the Act 3, but David will be here to talk with you, to answer questions. We hope you will stick around for the reception. Thank you so much for coming. Thank you to Sasha for and your